Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 593. It's the 23rd of September, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Amit Ben-Haim, CEO of CloudTag, CTAG. I've got an inkling it's going to be a popular one. Amit discusses recent news and answers private investors' submitted questions. Also on the podcast, Nicola Duke, technical analyst, charts the following: Pantheon Resources, Sigma Rock, Ferrum Crescent, Asia Met Resources, and Seeing Machines, which he likes a lot. By the way, if you want to see these annotated charts done by Nicola, go to the blog, voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. You can see them there. And Chris Bailey, founder of Financial Orbit, covers EasyJet and Wrangle Resources. Plus, I have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. This is a money flow indicator, really, because people put these companies on their watch list, do some more research, and more often than not, they end up investing. So it's a list worth paying attention to. I've got the top five in the last 24 hours, and also on the blog there, top five from the week, the most followed from the week, top seven. So it's it's a long, strong bit of momentum there. And the most liked RNS from the last 24 hours, I'll cover that. And today's suggested one for your watch list is Edenville Energy, EDL, suggested by Martin. And you can see the reason why on the blog, and I'll read out that in a bit.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Amit Ben-Haim, CEO of CloudTag, that's ticker CTAG. Thank you for joining me, Amit.
Good afternoon, Justin. For me, it's a good morning, and it's almost a month since our last call.
Yes, this is a bit of an international call because you are, Minneapolis now at the moment,
yes,
are you?
Yes, indeed. I just landed after being in New York, spending a few hours yesterday in meetings, and then I have arrived at Minneapolis this morning. Six of my team already arrived yesterday into Minneapolis, and they are working for the next 2 days with the city's team to make sure that all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted from all aspects, including branding, marketing, market sector positioning, merchandising, and logistics, to name a few of the topics that will take us into the market soon.
Cool. Well, listen, before we get on to that, and I got to say, the recent RNS about the appointment of the Chief Business Development Officer is the most popular on the website on Vox Markets in the last 7 days. We'll get to that in a bit. But for people, there are some people, maybe, who are not aware of what CloudTag does. So can you explain what you're all about, please, Amit?
So, CloudTag is a digital health platform. It's an IoT company. We come up with sensors and we are measuring certain body outputs. At this stage, we are measuring heart rate with electrodes. And we have decided that the future for us is to lock onto a sector rather than to be one device for everybody. And we are now currently mastering the weight loss sector, which is the largest actually within the wellness and the most talked about, because a lot of governments and private insurance companies are sweating paying out for people who are overweight, who are moving into chronic diseases such as type 2 cardiovascular diseases, and not to mention even amputation, unfortunately.
Okay, all right. So we got some questions from private investors. We'll do that
sure.
In a bit. But first and foremost, can you take us through the appointment of Chief Business Development Officer and his background and how that came about?
Sure. So obviously, since we have spoken last time, great deal has been achieved on all fronts. One of them obviously was the inclusion of Bev, the sales director who came from Jobon. And you can imagine he's fresh from the market, all the contacts, all the knowledge of the players in the market in Europe and especially the UK. Then to Yuval, the Chief Business Development Officer, who started yesterday, actually, and his first day at office was actually flying from London to Minneapolis. As I mentioned in the previous RNSs and the podcast last time, I am recruiting, I'm continuing to recruit, I'm bringing more people who are obviously bringing along with them new and varied skill sets and market knowledge, assisting me in accelerating our market entry and mapping the new opportunities for us. Especially about Yuval, and again, this is my trend, very analytical. Beyond the idea as computer science engineer, and beyond the idea that he has an MBA from INSEAD, and actually, smartly enough, he's gone and chose to do it in Singapore, so actually he saw more of the world. His market approach, worked for a blue chip company, BT Sport. He was actually the first guys who launched the BT Sport program into the UK. So B2B was very much his part, growing the business opportunity, and then later on moved to the one of the largest internet network provider. So Google, Microsoft, Yahoo, all of them are the clients. And again, there he was responsible for very large projects, analyzing the costs, analyzing the returns, and deploying quite a lot of capital. So Yuval came across me, and I didn't hesitate in offering him a job. And I think he would be a great guy in the business. Now, obviously, one of his chief responsibilities, the B2B business opportunities, including the medical health care insurance companies. And hence, I decided also to bring him to Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, you seem to be building a team of experts and experienced guys there around you, which is quite good. And you must be quite pleased at the moment with how the share price is reacting.
Well, never react to a share price, because that's what the market decides, but it's always pleasing to see a blue collar.
Yeah, well, do you know what? You have a phenomenal amount of loyal investors there. I mean, I experienced this via Vox Markets and via social media. We've had a lot of questions submitted.
Sure.
But last time we did 25 minutes worth of questions, so there are less questions this time, but I think they're very pertinent. So let's go into them. The first one is, can you see CloudTag collaborating with any other big names in the tech world? After all these years of research and having the most accurate tech, people must now be approaching you.
Well, I think this is a fair and good question, which I will try and answer within the ambits of being a listed company, and you'll appreciate the sensitivity here. So what I can see a move within all these companies, be it Intel, Qualcomm, IBM, and others, towards data gathering and data analytics, whilst I think the current trend with all of them is digital healthcare where we are. So on the whole, if you look at that market and the shape of it, these companies would rather have people like us coming up with the sensors, data acquisition at source, where they will add their cloud data analytics using our own data and deliver them to different stakeholders in the marketplace. But as you can appreciate, if the raw data is not accurate, then all you do with the with your analytic powers is actually expand the errors. So talking about us being the most accurate medical grade device, I'm of the opinion that CloudTag can serve their needs going forward, especially that we are focusing on the weight loss sector, which is high on the agenda of many medical insurance bodies, be it governments or private. So the trend forward, what I see, is that these companies will consolidate within their operation the downstream, people like ourselves, providers such as CloudTag, so to gain market share, as data really is the value. And summarizing back again to one of the first questions, who are we? So our base is a digital health IoT platform company. So adding more sensor is the way I see our progression. And indeed, they are the powers going forward with their analytics and data sharing.
Yeah, I see that was one of the biggest selling points there, because obviously a lot of people mention that CloudTag is the most accurate on the market. I mean, has this been sort of verified in any way? I mean, are you building your case on the accuracy of the product? Is that the case?
Yes, indeed. And I think that's the biggest differentiator, because at the end of the day, if you don't have a raw, accurate data, whatever you're going to tell the user is obviously going to be, again, not accurate, not relevant, not meaningful to what they want. And yes, we had tests last year with the Essex University Sport and Science. Later on, we're moving to Loughborough University, which is the home of Team GB. There are some tests going to happen in the United States in other facilities. And all those tests, as we are a listed company, we are publishing them on the website, and people can see the numbers for themselves. But yes, indeed, we are the most accurate.
Yeah, cool. All right, next question. Fitbit spent $21 million in 2014 on their marketing budget. Where is CloudTag going to find the money to compete on this level and persuade customers that its product is different?
So two levels I see here in answering. So first, we're not competing with Fitbit and the others in the marketplace. We have created our own sector, namely the weight loss. I mean, to date, there is no one in the weight loss, which is actually a device and service. There are plenty of people telling you, you can buy an app and then lose weight. You can go to Weight Watchers, for example. You can eat a Special K as much as you want. But there's no one there holding a hand and going into that market with a device and service. So first, we created this kind of vector. And this is the reason why, for example, Best Buy, Target, Argos, M&S, to mention a few, could grasp this point from day one talking to us. And hence, we are not cannibalizing on their current sales, but rather adding to their sales and floor space, giving them a product that end users need. And this is another direction that I am enshrining in this company throughout all my companies. We are in the business of responding to people's needs rather than create a need. And I think this is a very sustainable business model here. And by the way, you know, when Fitbit entered the market in 2010-11, the sales were around the 2 million mark. And I believe they did not have the firepower you have mentioned. However, talking about the second element, we have the needed cash to support our product market entry and more to come, allowing me to accelerate entries on both sides of the pond at the same time.
Okay, this question here. Do you have a, this is a multi-million dollar question, Amit. Do you have a definitive release date for the wearable units? If so, is the marketing in place to meet the festive sales period? Says at the end, thank you and good luck.
Well, Justin, you know I cannot answer your question, but suffice to say that with the addition of Pete, our chief creative officer, and his team, which mainly came from Microsoft Nokia, we are in great shape and ready, having all the brand marketing and clear path to market in our grasp.
Mm-hmm. I see, yeah. I also had another question. They were saying, what's your address? What's your favorite bottle of champagne? Because it was from Neil in Cheltenham. He wanted to send you some champagne, I think, because he's an investor, so he quite liked that. But I'm assuming you wouldn't want to give that out. But, okay, I mean, you know, thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Pleasure.
Again. And just to round off, you know, as a summary, you know, we want to get people following you on Vox Markets. That way they get RNSs delivered straight to the front screen of their smartphone whenever you release one. So could you give us, you know, three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on the Vox Markets page, on your page?
So actually, as we are always different, it's four reasons. So the first is the only digital health wearable platform on AIM. We are a fast-growing IoT company, and you said yourself how the share price had developed since last year when I came. I think more than 400%. Mm-hmm. Clear strategy for growth, both in B2B2C and B2B with clear market entry. And most importantly, and above all, you know, having recruited and built a great team of people who actually, this is the engine of the future.
Amit, thank you very much for coming on. And no doubt you'll have some more updates, some more exciting news coming. So hopefully we'll speak again soon in the not-too-distant future.
Very much looking forward, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
It's a Friday, and so joining me right now on the podcast is the Duchess of the Chart, the lady with the technicals. And she's got a Fibonacci's out. You're right, Nicola Duke.
I am. I'm really good today. Thanks. It's so beautiful this weather.
It is nice, isn't it? I know. It's one of those
it's put me in a good
sunny
mood.
September morns. All right. Exactly. So we got the charts suggested by people. These are stocks. So I send out a link and people fill them in. And then you go along and annotate the charts. People can see the charts annotated on the blog here at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. And the first one up, Nick, is it's had a bit of the
people sign up, you know, it's free content, so I don't
exactly, know, all you need is
just got to give your name once, nobody will ever spam
name
you
and email. And it's got, do you know what, Vox has been set up because it's for financial services as well, for sort of professionals. It's been set up with GCHQ security. So it's pretty much... honestly, I laughed at that, but it's true.
It's true.
There's a cybersecurity company involved with it who literally, it's got super tight, watertight security. So more than any other site, probably, even probably your banks. So, sign up to get a name and an email, and it's very secure. So, first one, has had a bit...
I got my hard hat on today. I'm expecting a dad day. It's very unusual, you know, this week seasonally, this week, the week after options expiration in September is normally a down week, like 22 of the last 26 have been negative, and we're well up on the week.
Okay, so you're expecting...
I'm a bit worried we have a down day today.
All right, so I had Pantheon Resources, Jay Cheatham from Pantheon Resources a while back. This is after a big fall. They had a bit of an issue with their VBO2 well, I think. They stopped drilling. They're going to go back to it. They said there's still stuff there, hydrocarbons there and stuff. They just had a problem drilling at a certain angle. So it took a big fall on that. But what do you think? Pantheon Resources, P-A-N-R, on the chat.
Yeah. Pantheon is stalled. So if we take the 2nd of September high and that sharp drop, we've stalled at the sort of 50% retracement of that very sharp fall exactly, and the 20 moving average. But it's not like we've by no means topped out. I think it's just a pause. There's really good support, 97.5 to 99. I think this is sideways. It'll make a flag or some sort of wedge consolidation and continue higher. So, my upside target hasn't changed. It's still, you know, 133 in the 200-day moving average at least for this one.
Okay, all right.
So it's paused, but I still like it.
Yeah, I like it. What I'm looking for is that just then I like to put on a weekly, you know, and check out the RSI, and and also sometimes on a weekly I do like to look at the MACD as well to see if they've converged anywhere there.
Exactly. Nowhere near.
Not yet,
is it?
No. So while you're thinking, you know, so almost like you said, you know.
So turned up bullish reversal. Yeah, you know, it's natural, you know. People who were long and got really scared by that really nasty drop will see it bounce 50% and then take and then cut their losses there. That's just a sort of natural place where people will do that. I don't think that means that it's going to continue low. There's certainly no indication yet. I wouldn't, if I was looking to short it, I wouldn't sell it there with the oscillator down in the hole like that.
Okay,
so.
All right. Next one is SigmaRoc, SRC. Again, they've been on the podcast, quite a popular stock there, looking to build acquisition and stuff. I got the wrong one, I think.
SRC?
Yeah, is that it? Yeah, sorry, I had the wrong one on my chart then.
SigmaRoc.
That's
SRC?
It, yes, yes. 0.035 at the moment. What are you looking at in the chat there?
I've got it 0.35,
Yeah,
it should have some support. Like, there's two levels of support here. It's had a really nasty fall. It's had one swing higher to recover. I'm looking for another swing higher to repeat that first one at least. And I've got two levels of support. The first one is where we found support this week at 0.326. If we can't hold 0.326, I think we'll try and retest the lows and I'd be a buyer at 0.235.
Okay.
But I'd like to see it have a go. Like the RSI and everything says, here we are, we should hold this level and keep going higher. And I'd be looking for 0.65 from this
Marvelous.
One.
Yeah, just looking at it.
But you're wrong. You're wrong below 0.35. 0.315,
okay.
and you'll be looking at retest of the lows. So, you know, don't stick in an offside trade.
Yeah. It's sub 1 million market cap that company is at the moment. It's nothing, is it really, for a listed company?
No.
All right.
Like at the very least, this should go back to sort of 0.6 in the bottom of the gap.
Yeah. Okay. A stock now that had a phenomenal rise yesterday, and the interest has gone up. It had the most liked RNS on Vox Markets yesterday, and it's also in the top five most followed. It's Ferrum Crescent FCR. It's at 0.32 at the moment. What do you reckon, Nick?
Yeah, we looked at this before and we said, you know, there's a really nice wedge forming. I really like how it's, you know, the whole of September it tested the 200-day moving average and held it every day and bounced and sideways. And this one's built up for the move, and now it's doing it. I love it. I think it'll continue to go higher. I really like that we closed above. You see, if you look left to 2015, you'll see sort of October, November, and then the start of this year, there's a bit of a pivot level around 0.297, 0.3. I really like that we cleared all that yesterday. You know, that was the highs of the wedge, wasn't it? So now that massive move that we had, support is now at 265. So if you bought it, you know, we shouldn't really close back below 0.265 if we're going to continue higher. First target is 4.4. Mm-hmm. Second target is 0.73. And I really do think that this one will finish up around the 215 highs for this swing at 0.95.
All right. Cool. That's FCR, Fair and Crescent.
Yeah, really nice reaction to the 200-day and then that breakaway. It should keep going.
Lovely. All right. Next one is Asian Met Resources. I do hold some stock here, ARS. And it's been banding on this channel. Do you know what? I've got a preset channel on here and from the lows and rising channel there. And it seems to be, you know, conforming to that. It's bouncing off that channel slightly, but it's not going to.
Where does your bottom? Where does your channel
right,
start?
Right, so I've got yeah, I've got the lows of 24th of the 6th, and then next one down is 30th of the 8th, and it's now at that level. Yeah. Now it's bounced along again. So you know, so, and also that channel extends back to almost the 2nd of February time, 20th, yeah, around about there. So. Yes, so I've got two channels going up there. But top of the channel there is around about 3.4, something like that. But what do you reckon, Asia Met? Arse!
Yeah, it's really trying. You know, it had that really sharp rally, retraced most of it, and now it's trying to make a. So we had a low in July, and now we're trying to get a higher low and continue higher. I really do think this can keep going to 3.4 is the target for this one. But it's just kind of thinking about it and bunching up. But yeah, definitely at least back to 3.4 for the next
swing. Well, on a fundamental level,
and we'll see what happens there. Because this is one of those stocks, you know, that it might need a second leg of correction lower, but it will at least go to 3.4 first.
Yeah, well, I'd say on a fundamental level, which I know you're not interested in, but they are waiting for news.
No, I listen, yeah,
they're waiting for news on a couple of mine licenses in Indonesia, and it's been a little bit delayed. There's confidence it should come through. But I think once those are delivered, because they've got three assets, and the one is fine, it's got a 30-year mining limit. There's another bigger asset behind that. But once those are approved by the Indonesian government, there, I think it'll fly. And that's what people are waiting for, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay, the last one. Seeing Machines. It sounds very futuristic.
S-E-E.
No, you like?
Is a thing of beauty.
Oh, let me just type in S-E-E. Let's have a look at it. Oh, hang on.
Love it. Okay, so let's look at a weekly chart.
Okay.
And let's zoom all the way out, or even a monthly chart. Let's start today in a monthly chart, which I like to do. And if we look at a monthly chart, so the opening price for this stock back in 2005 was 4. And so then 4 was resistance, you know, in 2007, and then in 2010, 2011, 2013. And then we had that huge rally, got above it, and then it was support, support, support. And here we are, we've blown through it. That level now is a really big deal support and I like how we're back above it, and so solidly as well. So solidly in the last 2 days above the 200 day as well. And if you draw a line, so if we go to a weekly chart now, and if we draw a line and connect the highs from that 2013 high and the 2014 high and then the 2016 high, you see we've broken out completely. Yeah. And that decline, if you look, that decline from 2013 to 2014, we've made an equal measured move, an ABC corrective move. So this one is a really good candidate for new highs above 10.
Do you know, when you said that, then I typed in C and it came up with the American stock. I didn't realise that, though, and I was looking at the chart. What's so special about this? That didn't look particularly special, and I realised I had the wrong stock. But I've got it now. I can see, fantastic. All right, C. So, marvellous. And if you want to see the right charts annotated by Nicola, then go to Vox Markets.
The support in C is, you know, we're wrong below four. It won't go back below four, but support is actually at 4.25. So if you're looking to buy and you miss that one, if it comes back to sort of 4.25, 4.35, I think this one is an absolute gift. You're wrong below four, and it's going to go to at least 6.2, probably new highs.
Wow, okay. Well, like I said, if you want to see the correct chart on that, as opposed to what I was looking at, then go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog, and Nicola will have the annotated charts up there for you to peruse at your pleasure. Nicola, thank you very much. Have a nice weekend.
You're welcome. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chris Bailey from financialorbit.com. Hi, Chris.
All right, Justin. Good morning to you.
Yeah, you too. Now, we've had a bit of a rally today after the Fed. So it looks like they won't hike to the end of the year, apparently, now. But who knows? They change their mind every meeting, it seems.
They don't certainly know. But
exactly. So what are you looking at? What are your thoughts?
So for me, you know, this time of year is fascinating. You're coming into later September, you're trying to think now, how are you going to make money for the balance this year? Because people have got 3 months left until Christmas is upon us. So how are you going to make money? Are you going to make money? Because typically, of course, markets do quite well at the back end of the year in November, December, after you get past the kind of the sloppy, slightly volatile September, maybe October period. Now, I think the key stat here has got to be that the average fund manager is behind their benchmark at this moment in time. Okay. You know, they're looking pretty shabby. They've got to chase the performance. They took money out, can you believe, after the Brexit vote. You look at those big outflows in late June, early July. They were absolutely massive. They haven't put that money back in. Poor Mr. Fund Manager, you know, very bad call there. Private investors, no doubt, have been much savvier and put money in. The thing is, though, the average fund manager, of course, accounts for a bigger whack of money. And because money can move markets, if they're going to put money back in, this could actually be quite good news. I think this is perfectly consistent with a good end to the year. So the question then becomes, so if you're going to sort of run on the coattails of these guys, what sectors do you want to look at? What stocks do you want to think about? A couple of quick thoughts. Sector-wise, if you look at the average big fund manager, they're still massively underweight. Financials, resource stocks, and to some extent, a little bit industrials. You put all of that together in the UK market context. I have to say, I think the big resource stocks still have some angles to them. And also the fact that, you know, bring it back to something you said, Justin, the fact that the Fed aren't raising rates sooner rather than later, that's actually good news for resource stocks too. It's good news because the dollar remains under control. When the dollar is low, resource stocks are high, or tend to do a bit better. So the resource stocks are still interesting. I tell you what, the big catch-up area could well be, though, and it's also an area which does well at times of when things like bond yields are sort of creeping up, as they are currently still, and that's financials. We saw a reasonable start to the week on them. They've been all over the front pages for all the wrong reasons over recent years. But I have to say, stocks like Barclays, where they may not be everybody's cup of tea, but there is a story there in terms of simplification and just, you know, really just focusing on the better parts of their business, the retail bank side, the Barclaycard side, etc. I can see Barclays at £2. I really can before the end of the year. So for me, I'm sort of scrabbling around looking in the resources and financial sector, thinking there are a few opportunities there.
Yeah.
And I think that's interlinked with the fact that I think markets are going to favour those sectors as the panicky fund managers put their money back in.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I mean, it's odd you say, you know, private investors who are quite active are probably a bit more savvy, because during Brexit, I jumped into two stocks that got hammered, and that was Persimmon and EasyJet. I've just taken 11% profit on EasyJet. I took about 13-14% profit on Persimmon. So I can't understand why. I understand they're performance-driven, so they're a bit scared sometimes. They don't want to lose too much. But, you know, I saw opportunities there because I thought they were solid businesses and they've been hit a lot. Like, you know, EasyJet down by 30% and Persimmon run about the same. I thought, well, hang on a sec. This is just the vote. It's a huge lag factor here before anything changes, you know. So I just jumped in. And I know you just met before we came on here. You mentioned EasyJet, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. And actually, I agree. I did exactly the same thing as you with EasyJet. But the thing is that it's about £10.40 as we speak at the moment. I think it's too cheap still. Yeah. You know, this is a stock which, you're right, the earnings estimates did come down. They've had some challenges. You know, there has been some impact from the pound moving around. There has been some impact undoubtedly from those dastardly French air traffic controllers going on strike and stuff like that. And clearly a bit of uncertainty over Europe's and the UK's relationship and what that means. But inherently, are people still going on holiday? Yes. You know, this is sort of to some degree the same angle, the same argument we had, discussion we had over Thomas Cook a few weeks ago, which I'm still very positive about, still see a quid a share possible there. I think EasyJet has a links into the consumer, which still makes sense today. And when I sort of look at the numbers and think about where they should go back to see it recovering to a £12 or £13 level does not seem implausible to me. So for me, EasyJet at £10.40, risk reward is very good. Certainly, it does seem to be getting a bit of support at that £10 level, you know, and I do like a nice law of round numbers level. So I would say for the real deep value people, people who love to buy things which are absolutely disliked, you wait for that £10 level. But for the average investor, somebody looking to benefit from a, in this case, a consumer story that I guess many people have tried and maybe like or at least know something about, I think these levels are pretty compelling at £10.40. Certainly, again, I can see over, let's say, the next 6 months, the shares getting back to something beginning with a 12 or a 13, as, you know, a realization that actually this is still chucking off cash. They've still got the capability to pay things like special dividends. And actually, they broadly know what they're doing, albeit wrapped up in a still a little bit of Brexit and related uncertainty.
Yeah, there's a story out, isn't there, yesterday about the pilots are looking to strike. They've voted overwhelmingly in favour of a strike. So there's some, you know, but I mean, those strikes don't last forever. And this kind of uncertainty is good if you want to get a cheap price, I think, you know?
Precisely. And, you know, what did the shares immediately do off the back of that? Now, announcement, they fell 1% and they're up over 1% today. Now, albeit that markets are, you know, going up and down and doing other things like that, I guess what I'm trying to say is, in the wider scheme of things, strikes tend to be an opportunity to accumulate rather than, you know, the rationale for jumping out of a share. So I think in this case, I would concur with that. I think far more important for EasyJet are matters like, do we still have an ability to go on holiday? Does their business model remain still competitive against things like the legacy carriers? And of course, you know, are people still willing to use their services and not? And what I observe is demand for their services, their load factors, the number of seats on their plane that are still full up, are still very high. So I think they're still doing okay. My feeling is there's a recovery trade there to £12 or £13. And then, you know, it gets a bit more difficult for them to get back up to those highs of £15, £18 over time. But for investors, there's more than enough to be going forward to today's share price.
Yeah. A few weeks back, you mentioned Rangold, which has a nice rise today. Gapped up today because of course, partly to do the Fed. And I bought some of these. It bounced up, and I did sell at a small profit, and it came back down. If you get your chart, right, and someone once told me this, they said the 200-day moving average is always the benchmark that people look at. They said, try a 125, and I've put a 125 on there as well. And if you look at the Wrangell Resources, it bounces off that 125 level quite nicely. And you can see opportunity here. It just bounced off it twice recently. And it's up strongly today, isn't it, Rick?
Yeah, no, that's right. And it's up strongly because the gold price is up strongly and there's an obvious correlation there. Look, the thing, when we talked about Rangold, I think I observed that, look, £70 is the absolute don't even think about it buy level. They're currently just approaching £80. So people may feel as if they've missed it. The reality is, from a longer term perspective, I would always encourage people to have a bit of gold in their portfolios. For me, it's sort of 10-12% of my portfolio. Rangold is the biggest position by far. It's the best, the biggest of the best, in my opinion. But I think for general investors, the diversification of gold, particularly at these times of crazy central bank decisions and the like, makes a lot of sense still. So I think for longer term investors, Rangold at £80, fine. You know, just put it away, and I think it'll perform absolutely appropriately for you. For traders, yeah, you're still trying to look for that £70 level, and it does happen. You know, you only need to go back a few weeks, and that's where we were. And as you get these fluctuations of fear and greed and everything else, you'll get these opportunities. So, yeah, for medium-term investors, I never dissuade them from buying Randgold. It's one of my biggest positions, and I think you'll make a lot of money out of it still from here over the next few years.
Marvellous. Anything else, Chris, you're looking at?
So again, last week we talked about Ashted. I said wait for that 12 quid level. That's an area where it's single digit EV EBIT, still an attractive business model. They're trading there today. I would definitely be an accumulator of it. I am an accumulator of Ashted at these levels.
Okay, marvellous stuff, Chris. Lovely to speak to you. Speak again next week.
See you soon.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are at five. We covered them on the charts with Nikola. Seeing Machines, S-E-E, had a big rise yesterday. At four, I just chatted to the CEO, CloudTag. At three, I chatted to the chairman yesterday, Solo Oil. At two, big riser yesterday, Ferrum Crescent. We talked about the chart there with Nicola as well, FCR. And at number one, for the second day in a row, it's Clontarf Energy, C-L-O-N. All right, today's, the most liked RNS in the last 24 hours was Ferrum Crescent's. The excise of lead zinc option in Spain. Check it out by clicking the link here in the blog post. And today, suggested one of your watch lists is Edenville Energy, EDL, suggested by Martin. Thank you, Martin, for getting involved. It's much appreciated. What does the company do? Prospecting mining coal in Tanzania. How many shares does the company have in issue? 621 million. What's the current price and market cap? It's a 0.425 pence. Market cap, 2.64 million. What revenue and profit and loss does the company generate? Company made a loss after taxation for the 6 months period ended 30th of June 2016 of £446,801. The total comprehensive profit for the period was which included a gain of £554,533, arising from the translation of Tanzanian subsidiary company accounts from US dollars to sterling. So do the research on that. How much cash or debt does the company have? As stated in the interims, 30th of June, they had £190,000 in cash. List three reasons why people should put this company on the Vox Markets watch list. Number one, Edenville has the rights to 130 million tons of coal. I'm going to say megatons. Megatons. It's like something from Transformers. Anyway, they have the rights to 173 million tons of coal, granted mining license and mining, so could mine immediately. IEA or EIA. Number two, the government of Tanzania issues directive to ban coal imports into Tanzania in August 2016. Yeah, this had a positive effect on the share price, which is obviously good for Edenville. Number three, currently negotiating coal offtake agreements with commercial coal customers. So that's EDL, just a tiny little market, 2.64 million. And that's Martin's suggestion. Edenville Energy. Thank you very much, Martin, for getting involved. And if you think you know of a company that should be on other people's watch lists, please get involved. You know, give it the air of exploitation exposure. That's all it needs sometimes. Go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. And in fact, Sea Machines, which had a massive rise last 2 days, and Ferrum Crescent has also been one of the suggested here for watch lists. So, you know, they are hot stocks. Like I said, go there, click the link, fill out the form, it takes 5 minutes. And I'll be featuring it on a future podcast. Thanks very much for listening. It's been a good week. And hopefully there will be a weekend podcast. Bye-bye. Muchas appreciado.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.